Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church on this beautiful sunny day. We should enjoy it so it's not raining today. I am Sandra Henderson, and I am the duty elder for this morning. I want to welcome Reverend Mo Anderson to the pulpit today. She's very well familiar with the congregation, but it's always a pleasure to have her with us. There are several announcements in the bulletin, which I'm going to leave to your attention and for your consideration. And Renata wants to make an announcement.
Good morning. I'm once again here from the ticket office, down in the hallway. But this is a very special ticket this time of the year, because this is our one big gala event evening for the 10th anniversary of 2017 for this church, BEPC. This is the gala. I mean, you've read about it in the bulletins. The tickets are going to be sold from today on downstairs. If you pull this out, you will see the whole menu out in there. And when you read through this, you'll also see that the $25 that you're paying for this is definitely not what it costs. And therefore, we have to say thank you to Session that has sponsored a significant amount of money to be for us to be able to buy this for $25. We really want every single one in BEPC to attend this wonderful evening on October 15. There's two things when you buy the tickets that I'll need from you. We have a choice in the menu between three main courses. You'll have to tell me if you are going to have the beef or the chicken or the salmon. The other thing is we're also making available a seating chart, so if there's someone that you would like to sit with, that can be filled out on the seating chart. So those are the two things that you have to give me the information when you buy this ticket. So I'll see you downstairs. Thank you.
We'll now just take a moment to prepare for worship.
Good morning. This morning we light the Christ candle to remind us that the light of Christ shines in the darkness, that the world cannot extinguish it, that even when we look at the news and the world around us, we are reminded that God is birthing his plan into the world, new world, as even as we speak. In worship, we come to feel the heart of God beating within us, to feel the pangs of birth stirring in our soul, to know there is newness of life growing, to trust that change is coming, to come to claim our place in the story unfolding. Let us worship. Our hymn this morning is number 814. Couldn't depict a more beautiful morning to sing Morning Has Broken. Let us join together in number 814. Let us pray. O God, who gave birth to us through the molding and forming of the earth, you breathed life into our lungs and called us good. You made us people to dwell together, but we confess something happened. We have distanced ourselves from your love. We have built walls between each other. What we don't see, we don't love, and what we don't love, we are fearful of. In your generous, diversity, loving God, we have formed divisions. Divisions made deeper by money, opportunity, violence, and arrogance. We don't want to hear the stories of those less fortunate than us because it hurts. We don't want to see the faces of our sisters and brothers who are hurting because we will feel responsible. We don't want to feel responsibility because we will feel the need to change. We don't want to change. Call us to be midwives to your transitions, to labor with the world in its pain and sorrow, to bring about the transformation that is your kingdom coming. You have called us to be transformed. You have called us to be open our eyes and see ourselves in each living, breathing being on earth. We know we can't change the entire world in our lifetime, but help us see how we can transform ourselves so that the world might come one small step closer to realizing your love, even as we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God hears our cry and longs to help us in our struggle. God hears our confessions and forgives us. May we take God's desire for transformation seriously and find ways to respond to God's forgiveness with acts of love and faith. Amen. Our children's hymn is This Is the Day, number 78. Good morning. Let me fix my microphone here. Awesome. Well, this morning I brought some dolls with me, and maybe you'd like to hold one. I should have brought three, but we can share them around. Do you want to hold that one? No? Now, imagine these were real babies. What kinds of things would you want to do to make sure that they were comfortable and happy? Think of some things. Feed them. Yeah, that's very important. Babies like to eat often, and so it'd be very important to feed them. If that baby was crying, Caitlin, what would you do with the baby if she was crying? Or he? What kinds of things could you do to kind of stop a baby from crying? Maybe we could have one of the grandma and grandpa show us what you would do with a crying baby. We might change his diaper. How would you hold the baby to make it? Oh, look at that. There you go. You put it up on his shoulder. See? Oh, yeah. Burped it and everything. Yeah. You might burp the baby. Yeah. You might rock the baby. You might sing a nice song to the baby. And that baby's got a blanket around it, right? So if the baby was hot or cold, what would you do? Would you wrap the baby in the blanket? Yeah. Would you read the baby a story, maybe? Yeah? Anything else you can think of you might do with the baby? Well, I brought these babies to remind us that we are all children of God. And sometimes that sounds a little bit funny when we say that, because it's hard to look out here and think, oh my goodness, everybody's a child of God. But that is indeed what we are, that God loves each one of us. And when the children were brought to Jesus, a lot of the disciples said, go away, children, you're kind of bothering Jesus. And Jesus stopped them and said, no, let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God is like being a child, to accept it. And when you think about it, that is a beautiful way for God to remember and to remind his people that every child is important, and that we can always go to Jesus with our problems and just to enjoy Jesus' company. So I brought these children, these babies, to remind us of how God treats each one of us as a child, that he embraces us, he enfolds us, he comforts us, and he is there for us. So let's say a little prayer, and I think you're staying up here this morning with your mom and dad, and we'll have a church service together. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for these children. Thank you that we are all children of God and that we are all your family. So help us to remember that you did not shoo us away, that you welcomed us, and that you are there for us, and that you care for each one of us. Amen. Thank you, guys, for coming up this morning. Let's sing the third verse of our children's hymn.
Our responsive reading is Psalm 124. And we will be singing refrain one. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say,
thank you.
the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
I want you to imagine, as I read our first passage in Exodus, that after speaking with the children about how precious children are and the infinite ways that we have to care for them, that I had just flung those dolls across the room in anger or had not treated them kindly after the children had helped me identify so many ways that it is important to treat children kindly. And then hear this story in Scripture. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase. And in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless and impossible tasks on the Israelites, and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and you see them on the birth stools, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it's a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And going to our New Testament, reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what it is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. And Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, Peter's declaration about Jesus. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is "Great is Thy Faithfulness," number 324. That's 324. Has anyone seen Pua? The Pharaoh's daughter is about to deliver a baby and they're anxious for us to be there. I want to stay on their good side so I can continue to protect the Hebrew people. We are one of the few women that are allowed to speak directly to the Pharaoh. Her name, Pua, means splendid, and mine, Shipra, means brightness. She's my partner for delivering babies. We always work in pairs. It always takes two of us. I deliver the baby while the mother holds the baby, and I cut the cord and take care of the new mother. But then Pua takes the baby and breathes the breath of life into them. The very breath of God. We are considered special in our community. Our gifts of healing and walking with women through pain are valued in our community. And they believe that Pua has a special gift to breathe life into the babies. That's why it takes two of us. I have studied long and hard with other midwives to learn the secrets of the earth and gather the herbs and mix them into special blessings for the mother that allow the delivery to go smoothly. But I'm afraid. It has been a frightening time in the life of the Hebrew people. The Egyptians have forgotten all that Joseph had done for them. Joseph was ripped cruelly from his own people. Do you remember? He was sold by his jealous brothers, and they took his coat of many colors. And they forced him to march across that dark and dry land. And he came to work amongst us as a slave. He traveled all that way tied to the back of the caravan. He was so little. And he had to walk tired and hungry. They say that when he came through the gates, they thought that he would faint from the heat of the day from the Egyptian desert. But he survived. And as he grew, he became a favorite. He was a little bit of an imp. But because of his wisdom, he was able to save our entire generation from starving to death. As he interpreted the dreams of the Pharaoh when the wisest men in the land could not. And because of his interpretation, we stored food for many years, knowing that famine was coming. When his own family came searching for food here in Egypt, when their own resources had dried up, it is said that he did not punish his brothers for what they did to him, but wept and embraced them, and eventually settled them in the land. They became the first generation of Hebrew people and Israelites. And now look at them. They're so numerous that we can't even count them. Pharaoh, though, is afraid of them. It seems so strange that these immigrants have lived among us for so long without trouble, and now we are afraid of them? Why are we letting them make us fearful of the aliens in our land when they have done nothing but work hard and contribute to our society? They have built our palaces and roads, and they harvest our fields. They have been our doctors. They have cared for our sick as well. And yet we have reduced them to manual labor. I can hear the rumblings amongst the Egyptian people, and I fear for their lives. I held my breath, though, when the king summoned us to the palace. Pua and I talked as we approached the steps. There were no royal members that were with child, so I knew that there was something else on the Pharaoh's mind. It's not like it was unfamiliar territory for me, because I had delivered most of the royal babies. They trusted us. Pharaoh, having forgotten all that Joseph had done for us, asked us to let the girls live, but kill every baby boy. I looked at Pua and I could see the horror on her face. But we both managed to gather our wits about this and give the king the answer he wanted to hear. We would obey his commandment. But we were horrified. It was our job to bring life into the world, not to kill it. To defy him was certain death, even for us. Even though I promised to do this, I could not. And so God's people grew and expanded, but so did the cruelty of the slave masters. When we forget what people have done for us, when we forget who people are, when we let someone else tell us lies, we're in trouble. All they had to do was look out their windows and see the beautiful dynasty that they had helped us build. Kings came from every land to see us. We yielded the most power in the region. We could feed our own people. The Nile was a beautiful river that gave us great crops. We were a strong and proud people, but we let fear rule us, and instead of treating the Hebrew people like fellow countrymen, some people began to talk and worry that they might hurt us or rise up against us or even attack us by joining the other armies. Isn't that crazy? We had lived together for a whole generation in peace. In fear, they doubled their workloads and demanded more and more of them. But brick by brick, they built and continued to build. No matter how hard we made their work, their populations grew, and the language people used was so demeaning, referring to the Israelites and the Hebrew people. They called us a plague, breeding insects, and a blight in the eyes of humanity. You know, to be a midwife is to be barren. And at first I felt the shame of never having children. But my work gives me meaning and purpose and a place in the community. It actually gave me a place in the community of both the Israelites and the Egyptians who valued my work. I'm honored in this community. When I look down the street and see the children scampering about, I remember each of them, the pain their mothers had bearing them. When they see me, they know that I sometimes delivered their fathers and mothers too. Pur and I are one of the few women whose stories are told in Scripture. My story reminds people that sometimes when we have a plan, God has a different way of using us that we might not have thought about. And you read in the story that because of our faithfulness to God's plan, that we followed God's leading to not kill the Egyptian baby boys, that God actually gave midwives families of our own. That was our miracle. Do you know that the history books recorded later that 603,000 men went on a journey to the Promised Land, leaving Egypt behind? When Moses wrote his story down, he remembered that after he was born, we hid him amongst the reeds. His sister was charged with watching to make sure that no one took him. One of the daughters of Pharaoh saw him in the basket and took him back to the palace and adopted him. Thank goodness his sister was quick thinking and offered to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse him, his own mother. He grew up in the palace. His mother, knowing that he was safe, although there were knew that he was safe, although there were many days that she longed to hold him after she finished nursing him. I know that Moses led God's people out of Egypt, but it took the work of midwives, risking their lives, that saved a generation of people to exit Egypt on their journey to the Promised Land. I know through my work how God works. I am a midwife, and the worst time for a woman in childbirth is transition. After hours of labor, the body will finally be ready to give birth. But it is also so painful that many feel like they are losing their minds. Transition is the most difficult time, and I could see that God was bringing people to a time of transition. Sometimes it's hard to remember when we are in the most pain, we are closest to birth. When we cry out, we can't do this anymore, that may be the time when we are closest to bringing into the world the promise of new life. Even women who have given birth many times can forget in the moments of pain and transition that you will get through. It seems so ironic that it was the Hebrew people who made the bricks and mortar that formed birthing stools for women in labor also became the symbol of how God was going to rebuild his nation, one person at a time through midwives. When Pharaoh summoned me back, the people were growing in number. I was terrified, but I made up an excuse. I told him that the Hebrew people were not like the Egyptian women, but were so vigorous in labor that they delivered before we arrived and hid the children. He believed it. The truth is that the women were so worn down with their many heavy labors in fields and in brickmaking that they often died in labor, or their babies were born so small they didn't survive long. It was heartbreaking to see God's people so mistreated. I didn't know what God's plan was for his people. I just knew what the right thing to do was. Like childbirth, it seemed like a long time coming. They thought that they would never get through the pain and the agony. But God saw them, though. We can think that God is not working in the world, not working in our lives. We can feel as though the pain is for nothing. We can think that our place in the world is very small and insignificant, and yet many small things can bring about big changes. Remember in kindness all those around you and all that they have done, and you will be less tempted to gossip about them or dismiss them. Remember with compassion all that you have done. Small acts are multiplied many times in the kingdom of God. Remember all that God has done for you, and that your pain may just be a time of transition, a time when God is getting ready to act in the world. Amen. In the book of Romans, we read the writer telling us that our lives are a living sacrifice to God. And through living work, we make a sacrifice at this altar through our offerings. I call upon the ushers to take up our morning offering. Thank you. Gracious God, we offer these offerings as part of our living sacrifice before your throne. We acknowledge that many small things can bring about great change. So we ask that these offerings might be part of our laboring in the world, that they might be make us midwives to a world in pain, that we might bring about transition and transformation to our world through what we offer here this morning. So we ask that you would continue to make us a living sacrifice in this world, that we might bring ourselves to this world and birth your plan into the world. We pray this in the name of Christ who came and died, sacrificed his life for each one of us. Amen. Before we go to our prayers for the people, I want to offer a word of thanks to the many people who labor in this church. I come here to do a service, but there's people that set up microphones for me and get water and prepare music and clean the church and greet and bulletins and turn on the air conditioning, very important, and unlock doors, and there's so many things I know I haven't mentioned, set up tables and make coffee. You guys have the best snacks, just saying. We need to remember in gratitude that we work together as a community and that there are many small acts of kindness. I know that Bruce usually opens up to those that you would like to name at this time during prayer. Please give me the names of people you would like to remember today. Nancy, thank you. Sean? Lou? Pat? Sorry, I missed that one. Headley, thank you. Is that Audrey? Margaret, thank you. And of course, we want to remember Pastor Bruce away on vacation as well. Is there anybody else that we have missed? Right. Let us pray. We come, O God of all peoples, to pray for all people. We think of those who are living in times of transition, who are laboring in pain, awaiting the birth of the hopes and dreams. Hopes and dreams for new life, for meaning to be born. We remember the immigrants in our land. May we never forget their contribution to our country. May we remember the many in the world who wait in hope and many who have despaired of ever finding a new land. We pray for those injured by prejudice and hate and those who have stood up and sacrificed their lives for change. We pray now for those who are in pain. May we be midwives to the pain of others, knowing that we cannot change the pain of another, but bear witness to and journey with. We think of those that we have named this morning, Nancy, Sean, Lou, Pat, Headley, and Margaret. And we know that you are with them, O God, in their pain. And we pray that our prayers may be part of their suffering, may be with them in their suffering. We pray for our world groaning under the weight of our waste and toxicity. Let us return to being good stewards of the earth. We pray for those waiting for lives to unfold. Like Joseph, we await the unfolding of your plan, and we, your people, trust in your providence to bring birth to your plan. And so, O God, may we be a people that is faithful. May we be a church that lives out your plan. We thank you for those in our community that are not here but are celebrating and enjoying holidays and times of refreshment and renewal. We pray especially for Pastor Bruce. We pray for this church as we move into the fall season, asking that our vision might be carried out. We thank you for bringing this church through 10 years. And we ask that your presence would continue to go with us as you grant to us a new vision. Lord, be with all those who are struggling in some way. Wrap your arms around them. Remind them that they are your precious child and that you are there for them and love them in ways that they cannot imagine. So as we leave this place, may we leave this place knowing that you are with us, that you go with us, you go before us to guide us, behind us to protect us, and beside us as our companions. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 621, Go Now in Peace. I send you out to be midwives in the world, to make the choices, small choices, every day that will move God's plan closer to being birthed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace for